as we approach Easter this week, there might be some people in the community who are thinking about Jesus and thinking too, you know, who is this Jesus? Is Jesus enough for me and for my life? And today we're going to be looking a bit later on in some verses in Colossians, which is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Colossae about 62 AD, and he did it while he was he's imprisoned in Rome, and he did it in response to his friend Epaphras, who came to visit him in Rome. And Epaphras was a dear colleague who had been working in the church at Colossae, and great things had been happening, but some other stuff was happening as well, and so he came to give a report to Paul. And so some good things were happening, but some other things were happening that kind of made Paul wonder, are they questioning if Jesus is enough? Because they were starting to incorporate some ideas, maybe from old ways of thinking, of doing things, of living a religious life. Some philosophies were going around that they were beginning to consider, and that disturbed Paul's heart so greatly to think, oh no, Jesus is enough. So he wrote them a letter. He'd never visited them before, but was so greatly moved. He needed to write this letter. And so it also, I guess, poses the same question to us. Do we ever question if Jesus is enough? Do we ever add something to our Christian walk? Do we trust when Jesus is leading us in a certain way that it's going to be okay? Do we ever add a bit of worldly wisdom to our plans to think, oh, you know, maybe that will help? I know that I have. And I know when I realise that, I think, oh, God, Lord, why did I do that? Why didn't I trust you enough? So let's have the next slide. Sometimes we question the sufficiency of Jesus. The next slide. Keith? Thanks, buddy. And sometimes we sort of have this lie that creeps in, you know. Surely God needs my help. Surely he's not really thinking it through. You know, maybe you might have a sense that God is asking you to do something. Maybe a career or a, you know, position somewhere, a role, a particular role. And you know that to get there, you would normally have to do a particular course, get some experience, get a job in that kind of similar area so that you seem like you're building your credentials, and then you would go for that particular position or try for whatever it is that you're really sensing God putting on your heart. Sometimes God doesn't work that way, and sometimes he's got a different path for you. You know, what do we trust? Do we trust what we see everyone else doing and what the world would say is right? Or if God is leading you a particular way, would we trust him with that next step? And that can also go for our relationships. You know, when we pursue a relationship, do we ask God, is this a relationship, God, that you would want me to pursue? Am I pursuing it in a godly way, in your way? The same to do with finances. All these things too is, you know, God wants to weigh in because he wants to know that we trust him. Because as we trust him, it builds our faith. Whenever he is leading us in a way that we've kind of felt like, oh, I'm not sure about that, he's really testing our hearts to see, do we think Jesus is enough? And his leading in that. I'm reminded of Proverbs 3, which is such a great proverb, verses 5 to 6, and we mention it a lot. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. When we lean, like if I lean against a wall, I'm going to put my full weight against that. So if that wall gives way, I go over as well. So he's saying, don't lean on your own understanding and insight. It doesn't mean don't turn your brain off. You know, certainly use your mind and your understanding and all the knowledge that you've used, but don't rely solely on that. Don't put everything into it, but trust. other stuff in there. Acknowledge that God is with you and God will lead you down the right path or into pleasant places, it can be interpreted, into a place of joy and satisfaction, something that's really going to go yes to who you are. So do we trust that Jesus is enough for our walking out in life? Or another aspect of is Jesus enough is Jesus enough for my salvation? Or do I need to do a little bit extra just to make sure? And sometimes we might fall into that. We might think, okay, I need to get up at 6 a.m. every day, do some Bible study and do some prayer. Now, those things are great. And we are trying to think about right now in our fellowship about how we can cultivate great habits to grow in our relationship with God, because it's so beneficial for us. When we're in God's presence, we understand who He is. His love floods into our hearts. It changes our perspectives. It's good for us to do that. But it depends on the motivation. If we're doing that because we feel we have to make God like us, well, then obviously that's not the right thing, because God loves you. You are so precious to Him. Nothing can't change that. And if you suddenly didn't get up one day at 6 a.m., it doesn't mean that you're a bad child, a bad Christian. It just means, oops, I didn't do so well today with that. And now, you know, maybe I'm not going to experience God's presence as I did yesterday. So it is a great thing to do. I'll try and find some other space to do it. But it's not a heavy, oppressive thing. Sometimes Christians can be very sin-focused and focus on the sense of unworthiness. And I wonder if sometimes it's because we allow the culture that we're in to kind of impact us. Because we don't live in a grace culture. I don't get a job because of the grace of my employer, and they don't pay me the same or more depending on what I do or don't do. There are expectations. And we find that in our relationships, even in, you know, Christian marriages, we can put expectations on each other and not really love each other unconditionally the way that we should, you know. And we can, it's a performance thing, even with our children sometimes, you know, we might praise them for what they do that's really good and punish them when they don't. And it comes down to performance. So when we base our life on performance, it can force us to look at our weaknesses. And in the case of our walk with the Lord, sometimes that might translate to looking at what we don't have and the imperfections and the sin. But it's interesting, because when we consider God's perspective, our sin isn't even an issue with God. And that's because our sin isn't being charged to our account anymore. It's being charged to Jesus' account, and He's already paid the bill. Hallelujah. I've got a thumbs up. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, Paul encourages the churches there and says that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, because they've already been dealt with in Jesus. And further to that, in Hebrews 9:14, it talks about how the blood of Christ cleanses our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. So not only have our sins been paid, but what Jesus has achieved on the cross for us has cleansed our consciences, so that we are now not weighed down by this sense of sin and, oh, wow, I'm not good enough. But we have, we recognize we are God's child, and we're set free to actually live for Jesus. So Jesus is enough. God isn't the one that ever condemns us. It's our own mind, our own consciences that haven't yet been purified and need to be purified and cleansed by the truth of God's word. Jesus has paid for all of our sins one time, past, present, and the future. The truth truth is, we have been redeemed. We have been set free, being made constantly clean by His Spirit at work in our lives. And we've received eternal life that starts right now. And it's all because of God's grace. Nothing that we can do, it's all God. So this is great news. Jesus is enough for our salvation by His grace, by all that He's done. And we can continue in that same grace as we live each day. And so Paul, hearing about the church in Colossae questioning, is Jesus really enough? Do I need to add something more? He goes on to write a fantastic expose and highlighting the supremacy of who Jesus is and what He brings to our life, and that He is all sufficient for everything that we might ever come across. So let me read out the highlights for us today that Jesus is certainly enough. Keith, the next slide, please. So he highlights the absolute supremacy and self-sufficiency of Jesus Christ for you and for me. So let the Spirit really allow these truths to come into your heart and mind as I read these now. Jesus is God's Son. He is the Redeemer, the image of God, the Lord of creation, the head of the church, and the reconciler of the universe. In Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead, and under Him every power and authority in the universe is subjected. He is the essence of the mystery of God. And in Him all God's treasures of wisdom and knowledge lie hidden. He is the standard by which all religious teaching is to be measured. And by His cross, He conquered the cosmic powers of evil. And following His resurrection, He was enthroned at the right hand of God. And our life, now lies hidden with God in Christ. And one day both He and we will be gloriously revealed together. How awesome and wonderful is Jesus. Jesus is truly enough. God loves you and He loves me. And even though that you and I might mess up from time to time, and we do, and even though we aren't perfect, because we totally aren't, He loves us not because of our performance or anything that we do, but because of Jesus' sacrifice and His grace. And as we truly realize these truths and allow these revelations to take hold in our heart and our mind, it's going to change the way you see God and yourself forever. So come, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you come now? And Lord, as Melanie was saying about that, the tug of war, Lord, help us to let go of the stuff that we just don't need to hold on to, but allow You to come in with Your grace and with Your truth of who You are and who we are to You, Lord, that we are dearly loved. We give You thanks, God. Come, come like a mighty wind. So, Paul writes and explains and unpacks this in his letter to the Colossians. He does that, and then he goes on now, because all of who Jesus is and all that He's done for us, now this is how you can live. This is how you are now freed to live. And he unpacks that and details how we are to live for Him. And he ends off in chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. And they're the verses we're going to look at this afternoon, because He's enough that we can continue His mission and be like Him in this world. So next slide, please. Let me read that to you. Paul goes on to say, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. And let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So it's because we know that Jesus is enough for us that we can move and live in his grace to live out the life that he saved us for. So let's look at that first line, devote yourselves to prayer. And that word devote, as you might expect, means to be steadfastly attentive, persevere, not give up, wait on constantly. And that's something we've been talking a lot about prayer. We're following the example of Jesus. He would pray to be with his Father, to be still in his Father's presence, so that he would know the heart of the Father, so that he would be empowered, he would be refreshed. And he taught his disciples to pray and encouraged them to pray and to pray constantly. And the next one is interesting, to be watchful. And I was thinking, so what is it we need to watch out for? And as I looked into that and looked at the word, we're actually watching out for ourselves. What does that mean? The word means to give a strict attention to be cautious, and to take heed, because if you don't, something might overpower you, overcome you, and be destructive. So what might overtake us? Maybe worldly distractions, that's easy. Worries, fear. Maybe like the lie we just talked about, maybe Jesus really isn't enough for my situation right now. Be watchful. What's going on in your mind? What's going on in your heart? The same word for watchful was also used when Jesus, just before he was crucified, went to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane and took a few of his disciples with him. He said, I'm going to go over here to pray. I want you to stay here and to watch and to pray. And he came back after he'd been praying to see his disciples, and they were sleeping. And he said to them, could you men not watch with me for 1 hour? He asked. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And again, in another place where it's talked about in Luke, the same part of the story, he said to them, get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation, because he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. So sometimes we can fall into a temptation of the feelings that we're going through, the desperation we might be feeling, the despair, the sorrow. And we need to take care that it doesn't overtake us, that we lose sight of what God is doing and can do in our situation. So we need to devote ourselves to prayer and be watchful. What is going on in my heart right now? Am I attentive to the things of God? Am I allowing my emotions, my situation to overwhelm me to the point that I can't hear from God? God, I want you in this situation. I want to know what you're saying. And to be thankful. So it's describing the type of attitude we are to have when we come into prayer. Oh God, I'm so thankful for what you're doing right now. I can see this. I can see that. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And it's that attitude. And I know that if as many practice that, it just totally changes your perception, doesn't it, of what's going on. You can actually think, oh God, you are doing this. Oh God. And it gives God opportunity to lift your spirits, to lift your gaze, to see things the way that he's seeing them. So we want to watch and we want to be thankful. then Jesus, not Jesus, Paul asks, could you pray for us too? He requests prayer. So that helps us to consider too, who can we be praying for? Who can we be praying for? We could be, you know, who in it with our brothers and sisters? Because he's asking, could you pray that that God might open a door for God's, for this great message of Jesus, so that I can proclaim this mystery of Jesus and proclaim it clearly as I should? Don't you just love Paul's outward focus? He's in prison right now. He doesn't ask, oh, can you please pray that, you know, they let me out soon? He's trusting God with his situation because he knows God isn't, Jesus is enough, which sets him free to do the work of Christ, to be as Christ wherever he is. And right now he's in prison. He's not asking, please pray for me. He's saying, could you help me reach others? Because he had the heart of the Father. He's been spending time in God's presence. He's got the Father heart of God. Paul's focus is outward. Wow. How much do we need to keep praying to keep that mentality and that focus for ourselves? So we can be, let's be praying for each other. You know, we've been looking at Luke 10 verse 2. Ask the Lord of the harvest for workers to go out into that harvest. It's God's harvest. He's out there. He's working. So wherever we're placed during the week, you know, God, what are you doing in this part of your harvest right now? Where I am, what do you want to do? We can be praying that for each other. And then the last two lines, it's really talking about our own focus then, about, again, what are we doing? And we can see that outward focus all throughout Scripture, and certainly as Paul writes, the last two lines, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So as I was looking at that, be wise in the way, yep, make the most of every opportunity. I thought, oh, that's an interesting word. What does that mean? And it means the right at the right time. It could be a crisis. It's a decisive time that's been waited for. It's an opportune time. And I thought, fantastic. It's not talking about all the time. You know, I think sometimes I feel like, oh, I need to talk to everyone and, you know, tell everyone about Jesus wherever I am, no matter what, no matter what the sort of interaction's going to be. But no, it's not saying that. So it's saying the opportune time, the God-appointed time, the special time that God is setting up. Which is, so that's such a relief to me. I don't know about you. So it invites us then, doesn't it, to keep praying wherever we are. God, what are you doing right now? You know, do I need to step out here? Do I need to speak a little bit more into this situation? Would you show me? And let your conversation be always full of grace. And that word conversation is actually logos. And the word logos actually describes Jesus in John's gospel. Jesus, the logos who created all that we see, the universe, and holds everything together, who's overcome all evil and reigns supreme. And this logos lives in us. Let your logos, what we're going to speak. Something that Joyce Meyer once said, and sometimes I repeat it, which goes, our words are containers of power. Our words are containers of power. So our words have the potential to create, build up, or they can really tear down. So as we speak, and as Jesus spoke the Logos and the world was created, we can create and bring into being God's goodness, us a sense and a tangible sense of his presence as we speak. We can create. Our words have the capacity to change atmospheres, no matter where we are, in an opportunity, in a God-appointed time. Our words have the capacity to change atmospheres. And as Jesus came full of grace and truth, we also bring the grace of God, his truth, so that we keep pointing to God, the goodness of God, and to Jesus. As a bit of a, I guess a personal testimony, I know for myself, I've been talking a lot about, just want us to go out and really be God's light in the world, so that people come to know Christ, and we're on a path of learning about that, which is very exciting. And people say to me, "Oh, but Marie, you do that all the time," and I think, you know, I can, but I can easily switch it off too. So I have found myself being challenged and thinking, oh, come on, be conscious of where you are right now. You know, in that prayer of Luke 10:2 coming on at 10 a.m. in the morning. And so when I was at university, and I'm there as a chaplain every week, once a day, and I was there a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, okay, God, instead of just roaming around and smiling, and people know I'm a chaplain, so, you know, that's good enough, I thought, no, come on, step it up. So I found some people to pray with, and at one point I knocked on the office of a couple of colleagues that I've worked with in the past and don't really get to see much, but they're lovely ladies. And they happened to both be in their office, which hardly ever happens. So I thought, oh, this is good. So I knocked on the door and I came in. I said, oh, I just want to say hello to two of my favourite people. And they perked up a bit and they started talking. I thought, good, we're engaging. This is lovely. We've got a bit of a conversation going. I thought, great. I sat down and I was hearing their hearts, and they're just lovely women. They love the students. They want the best for the students. And I could start hearing a bit of their heartache, that the structure that they're working in can be a bit restrictive sometimes, and it totally burdens them. And they work hard all day. They go home and work for a few hours more every night just to keep on top of things. And I just felt my heart, you know, rising with the compassion of God for them. And at one point I said, can I speak some words of just some peace into this situation right now? And one of them I've prayed before, doesn't go to church or anything, I don't know what she believes, and she's been quite open. This one, when I first became a chaplain, she said, oh, you're not going to convert everyone, are you? Like, oh, don't come and talk to me. But they both said yes. I thought, great, thank you, God. So I was just speaking words of love and affirmation over them, and encouragement, and how God sees them. I'm welling up now. And I started to well up with tears, and I'm just speaking God's love over them. And this one over here, I look at her and she's, you know, welling up with tears, and she comes over to me to embrace me, and her, oh, Maria, you know, and just sensing what's going on. And then this one, who doesn't normally respond, she got up, because we're about to separate, she gets up, and then she grabs us all in, so we're doing this threesome hug in their office. And, you know, God is love, and there was just a tangible presence of love in that office right there. And it was such a powerful reminder of how God can use us, and the words that we speak can change the atmosphere from despair to encouragement, affirmation, and love. God is so good, and he wants to use you wherever he has you right now, in whatever part of his harvest field he has you. And so the question today is Jesus enough for you? Is he enough for you in your situation? to that place that Jesus is enough, even in our imperfections, even in the fact that, you know, I forget half the time that, yes, I should have just talked to that person just there and I walked past instead, you know, that's fine. God forgives me. It's all right. There's another opportunity. Because Jesus is enough and because Jesus is in you and in me, he wants to continue to use us wherever we are. It's not because of us and it's not because of who we are, but it's because Jesus is enough in us that we can go. Just like Simon was talking about, it's not about us, but it's who we're following out into the world. So would you just stand as I pray and the worship team come? We're going to have a couple of songs and then move into communion. So Lord, we thank you, God, that you're working in our hearts today. You always want to be doing that, Lord, because you love us so much. You love us enough that you don't want us to keep us where we are. So Lord, would you just bring to mind now those areas where maybe we just do need to trust you more, where maybe we haven't allowed you to be enough, Lord. We just open our hearts to you, Lord, to come. And we thank you that you come with your love and your grace. There is no condemnation, but love and embrace, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And would you help us too, that because you are enough, that we may seek to live for you, to seek you, to be looking outward with the Father heart of God, that we might bring your presence to the world, which so desperately needs you.